Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now, I will turn the meeting over to Ms. Patricia Murphy with IBM. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you, Jane. This is Patricia Murphy, Vice President of Investor Relations for IBM, and I'd like to welcome you to the IBM Security Investor Briefing. You'll recall at the end of our investor briefing webcast in March, we said we'd host a series of webcasts on IBM's capabilities in key areas, and this is the first in that series. I'm here today with Mark Van Zettelhoff, General Manager, IBM Security. I'm sure you're familiar with Mark, as he's participated in a few of our investor events in the past. We're also joined by Michael Jordan, Distinguished Engineer from IBM Security. We're webcasting this event live from our IBM X-Force Command Center in Cambridge, Mass., and a replay will be available by this time tomorrow. Before we get into the content, I'll remind you that certain comments made in this presentation may be characterized as forward-looking under the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Those statements involve a number of factors that could cause actual results to differ materially. Our presentation also includes a couple of non-GAAP financial measures, which we've reconciled to the related GAAP measures in accordance with the SEC rules. Additional information concerning the risk factors and the non-GAAP reconciliation is contained in the company's filings with the SEC. So with that, I'll turn the call over to Mark. He and Michael will go through the prepared content, and then we'll come back for Q&A. So Mark, over to you.
Thank you, Patricia. It's a pleasure to be here and to be joined by Michael Jordan from our IBM Z Security business. So this is Mark Van Zettelhoff, as Patricia mentioned, and I have the pleasure of running our IBM Security business unit. And I'm going to take you through the majority of the content today. And the diagram here describes a bit of our IBM integrated model for cybersecurity. And this is a very exciting part of the business, not least because I live it every day. I will be representing, the majority of it, which is our integrated business unit, are represented in the gray box. I'll go through that. And then when I hand off to Michael, he's going to go into the box immediately below that and talk about the security that we built into our infrastructure, specifically the mainframe and the big release that we did a while back around Z14 and the encryption there. So we'll kind of go into that part of it when I'm done. Security is a high-value, market-leading part of IBM and IBM strategy. And so I'll, again, walk through what we're doing in this area within my business unit. And we are one of the largest integrated product and services business, and each of these words have meaning here. Product being a number of companies, as you see at the bottom, we've done over 20 acquisitions of software companies in the cybersecurity space over the last decade. And in services, also being able to offer managed services and consulting. And that's rather unique in cybersecurity, where often you have either one or the other represented in a highly fragmented market with hundreds, if not a thousand, different tiny players offering cybersecurity solutions. We were able to bring this together in an integrated manner and also have the services that can make it actually happen for customers. When we go to market, we talk about our security, our digital immune system for our customers, and I'm going to spend some time describing that. This slide kind of gets to the what we do. The next slide is going to get into the why we do it, and then I'll spend a bit more time on the how. And the how we'll get into that immune system and how that works. A key value driver has been our AI and our orchestration that we've been bringing to market. I'll describe those terms as I get into the how we do it. And then, of course, you can't be successful in security in such a fragmented market without having an open collaborative mindset. And I'll spend some time describing what collaboration means. But in a nutshell, if you think about cybersecurity, the hackers are collaborating at a relentless pace. These hackers are no longer the geeks trying to impress their friends by breaking into something for fun. They are organized criminals. They are the modern mafia. They are on the dark web. They are conspiring, colluding, and partnering with each other to try and figure out how to break into our customers. So you cannot be a successful cybersecurity player without having a strategy that makes you collaborate even better than the bad guys. And so I'll talk a bit about what that word means. I think we've been uniquely well able to lean into that word collaboration as part of our success. So to give you some numbers, 15,000 security clients around the world. So this is not just the large IBM customers. We do a lot, close a lot of deals volume every quarter. I have over 8,000 people on my direct team that I'm describing in that gray part of this diagram. We are a patent-rich part of IBM's portfolio and have really innovated in areas that are exciting for the future, like homomorphic encryption and in many other areas, and Michael may mention a couple as he goes into his section, but very much lead on IBM's research prowess. 20 acquisitions, the top vendor in the marketplace, and we'll get into that. $3 billion in revenue last year, growing at 54%. And then a stat that, those stats are quite familiar to all of the listeners, but a stat that might be interesting is 60 billion events are monitored every day. Patricia mentioned that we're sitting today in the X-Force Command Center, which is right in the heart of Kendall Square in Cambridge. That's essentially where we headquarter the security business. We have over 11 security operations centers around the world where we're monitoring thousands of customers. Think of this like the service you might use to have someone monitor the alarm system of your home. And just like that metaphor, my business is able to drop lots of probes and sensors into all of our customers and then have people remotely able to understand whether someone's trying to break in, not to their house in this case, but into their enterprise. That all adds up to 60 billion events coming into my security operations centers around the world. So that's an interesting stat I thought to share as part of this webcast. So that gives you kind of the what we do at a high level. And I wanted to get a little bit into this slide on why do we do it? Why have a cybersecurity business? And I think if any of you have opened the newspaper in the last 12 months, you would not need much time on the why build a cybersecurity business. We really started going put a lot of investments into cybersecurity about 6 years ago when we formed this unit. And the trends are in our face, right? Advanced threats. I went through hackers. I went through the different types of incidents that are going on, the collaboration that's happening on the dark web. So threats are getting ever more advanced. This is a cat and mouse race or an arms race. You could even say that we are about to enter a part of the threat landscape where it's going to be a war of good AI versus bad AI, if you think about how this is going to work going forward. And we can talk more about that. Maybe in the Q&A. Our customers, meantime, face unusual compliance mandates. GDPR would be the latest, but I mean, I've been in security for 18 years and got into it when Sarbanes-Oxley first started enforcing some of the basic controls needed on cybersecurity after some of the major issues back in those days. So, you know, if you're not thinking about hackers breaking in, you have to think about regulators inspecting everything you do. Digital transformation is a big one where the CIO has a very rich agenda on how to modernize a business. This is what the rest of IBM strategy is all about, our strategic imperatives, cloud and cognitive infrastructure and mobility and analytics and AI. And, of course, all of that means that the head of IT security, the chief information security officer, needs to figure out how the heck to keep the business secure as it's transforming itself. There's going to be 2 million skills shortage in cybersecurity by 2021, so a massive skill shortage. And then I'll get into it later, but when we started the business, we noticed that customers often had 135 tools from 40 different vendors. This is a beautiful market for IBM to enter and try and really build some mass and some integrated capabilities for our customers, and that's what we've been doing. That's what's been driving our success. So the other reason why we do this is more on the business side. It's a $120 billion market opportunity. It's highly fragmented, which I've mentioned. If you go to the segments of the market, the two that almost everybody would know are not listed here, the firewall marketplace and the antivirus marketplace. And when we set our sights on how to differentiate and build a large business at IBM here, we purposefully did not go into those two markets. So there are four very large firewall companies. You probably all know their names. And there are four large antivirus companies. Those markets are large, but they're saturated and essentially consolidated. We chose segments of the market above that, higher order security functions that we felt added more value to our core market segment, which is the CIO, Chief Information Security Officer, Chief Risk Officer, and you see some of them listed here. They tend to have also very nice and attractive growth rates. The managed security services market, which I already described a bit when I talked about the 11 security operations centers around the world, our consulting practice, and then application security. If you think about all those applications being built on any of the cloud providers and on-premise, they are often the major attack vector for hackers, because bad coding equals porous applications equals a breach. Think of the Equifax breach as the poster child of an application security breach. We have great products, SaaS, and services teams that can help to mitigate that risk. Cloud security, as workloads move to the cloud, we have to be there to make sure that we secure that. Security analytics, that's probably where we've built the largest part of our business, both on the services and the software side, helping to take all that data from the infrastructure, from the firewall companies whom we partner with, from the antivirus and endpoint security companies whom we partner with, and bringing it into a security operations center view, an analytics view for our customers. So that's a very nice market segment, again, where we are really differentiated versus some of the, you know, infrastructure security players that have been around for a long time and which we are now in large part bigger than. Emerging segments are very exciting, and I'll get into it. Orchestration and response, if there's a breach, how do you respond? And then data privacy around regulations and around privacy privacy needs more generally. So hopefully that gives you a sense of the why we're in the market, some really compelling drivers at the top of the slide, and some large market segments to go after at the bottom. Now start getting into the how, okay? I'm going to get into the immune system in more detail, but just at a high level, what we mean by the immune system is that there are domains of security, and again, having been in the business for a long time, on the left side of slide number 5, these domains, they actually don't change that much over time. You need to have secure applications, you need to know how to encrypt and secure your data, you need to know identities, passwords, you need to have security at the network layer, which I've talked about with firewalls, at the endpoint layer, I've talked about with antivirus, mobile, of course. I haven't gone through every circle, but you get a sense of there are these disciplines or domains of security you need to have. And what we, as I mentioned, have focused on is several of these domains and then the middle. And the middle is where 6 years ago this all was not coming together for our customers, and we have really pulled together an analytics and orchestration portfolio that allows you to sit as a customer in a security operations center and actually know what's happening with regard to the advanced threats, with regard to the compliance mandate, with regard also to insider breaches. Insiders still causing 55% of breaches, according to the Panamon group, which does a study in this area. So I'll get more into the immune system. A lot on innovations. AI, obviously, is a very exciting part. There are things that I'm seeing that we can do for customers today that 2 years ago just were technically impossible. And AI is one of them. Obviously, the way we're doing encryption on the mainframe, Michael will get into that as well. Cloud security is an exciting area. Collaboration I talked about and I'll get into, and a response and orchestration. But all of this happens because we also have expertise in services. And we call that transformation services. And why put the word transformation there? Because we actually can make this happen for our customers. We can actually make the problem go away. As you listen to this presentation, you'll realize that IBM Security operates in every delivery form that the customer could want. We have consultants and partners and associate partners in our consulting practice. We have our managed services business. We have a SaaS business, which is large and growing rapidly. We have a software business, and we have an appliance business. So we were able to deliver security to customers depending on the need and the preference of the customer in five unique patterns that I've mentioned here, as a service, as a managed service, as a SaaS, as a software, as an appliance. And that really sets us apart. And it means that typically when we are done with a customer, a project at a customer, it's up and running. The SOC is built. The identity program is working. The application security initiative has actually been deployed. So we really can transform a customer's environment. Okay. So let me get a little bit back into this immune system. And as I mentioned, if you go into a customer that hasn't been majoring on IBM's portfolio, and as I went to customers 6 years ago talking about how they did security, they would typically start mentioning random capabilities that they were leveraging. Vulnerability management, data access control, data protection, network visibility, identity as a service, malware protection, you name it, they had it. And if you actually started adding up the tools they had, I did this at a retailer and then down the road at an insurer 5 years ago, I never forget it, 135 tools from 40 vendors was one of them, 180 from 50 vendors was the other. So how do you run security with that kind of a footprint of tools and vendors at your service? The CISO, Chief Information Security Officer, was starting to emerge as a powerful player. and was getting budget authority of the subject matter and wanted to start to bring this together. And that's what we offered the marketplace on slide 7, was this notion of an immune system. And I'm showing you the next level of detail, the capabilities that you need to be good at cybersecurity. And to be honest, it almost doesn't matter what you're trying to secure. You need a variant of what I'm showing in the graphic here. You could be securing a workload moving to cloud. You could be securing your mobile device, or you could be securing a mainframe or a traditional server in a data center. You need to think through these aspects. And, you know, kind of give you an example. If you think about a mobile device, you need to think about the data security at the top here. Is that device encrypted? Can someone access that data? You need to think about the applications. Are they securely built? Are they downloaded from a reputable app store? Are they just, you know, ripped off the internet and hacked and wrapped with malware by a hacker? Have you thought about passwords and identity and access management? Have you thought about the device that's going on, in this case, a mobile device, and whether or not that device is patched and secure? So you can kind of go around the circle for every, you know, whether it's, again, mobile device is what I was doing, but I could go into just a traditional server and the workload on a server. And for everywhere you put your workloads, you need to be able to then bring that into this analytics engine in the middle and understand across all of your infrastructure on the cloud, on mobile, in a traditional data center, hybrid, whether or not you have the analytics to understand vulnerabilities, threats and anomalies, threat hunting and investigation, user activity, incident response, compliance. That's what we're doing for customers in the middle here. So we are bringing this together for customers. We're bringing it together a lot with our portfolio, those 20 acquired companies and the services teams I described, and then with over 500 partners that we have integrated with so that the lines on this diagram have meaning, so that when you use our capability in one of these circles and in the second one, there's a unique combination of value that occurs, and I will get into that as I go through the material here. Okay, next level of detail. You may not even have noticed on slide 8 that the slide changed, but I went from capabilities to our concrete offerings. This ends up being a bit of an alphabet soup, and on purpose, I kept here some of the original acquired company brand names. Often we still use those because customers still recognize in that fragmented world, they almost sometimes prefer to recognize some of the point solutions that we've gotten here. In data security, Guardium is our lead capability. Identity and access management, we were one of the largest players in this area. Trusteer, which we acquired in Israel for fraud management, for hundreds of the largest banks in the world leveraging Trusteer to detect fraud. Think of someone trying to take money from your grandma's account. Trusteer is in the middle of that and stopping that from happening. Probes on the network. Again, we're not a firewall company. We partner with firewall companies, but we do have some very interesting probes that gather intelligence from the network. One of the largest threat repositories at the bottom. Big Fix for endpoint management. Again, we're not an endpoint security player like the antivirus guys who we partner with, but Big Fix is a very nice endpoint management and patching solution. Think about WannaCry and Petya as the typical types of breaches that Big Fix can prevent. Mobile security, a wonderful solution there, and an application security. And then in the middle, QRadar, Watson Resilient, and I2 are our key product and SaaS capabilities here. Around the whole circle, if I were to go around it again, you'd see our services offerings with the open circles, the white circles versus the blue circles. So in every one of these areas, we have products and services capabilities where we can be agnostic from a services perspective, making this all come together for a customer no matter what they use. And then more, let's say, religious, if I stick with that metaphor, on the product and SaaS side, where we can have our own technology in most of these areas, leveraging and integrating with additional third-party technologies where needed. One thing that I didn't distinguish here is our SaaS versus our on-premise or product portfolio. We've, in every one of these areas, in almost every one of these areas, we have a SaaS capability, and SaaS is a large part of our software portfolio, and it is an incredibly fast-growing part of our product portfolio as well. So that gives you an idea of that immune system, as I show there in the top left, on-prem, cloud, and hybrid, available in all those flavors, and it gives you a sense of what comprises the momentum behind our strategy and those capabilities that I said are so needed. I've been in security a while. I fully realize as we were putting this business together a few years ago that a lot of security companies have become big and bad. It wasn't our ambition. We wanted to be big and best in class. And so we are relentless on each segment that we're in, and we are relentless as we work with the analysts, Gartner, Forrester, IDC, on making sure that we are relevant and leading in our segments. And I'm very proud to show that scorecard. If you were to take the segments I'm showing and the relevant reports from Gartner, Forrester, or IDC, you would see that we are a leader. Where each of them have a report, we are a leader in every one of the segments that we operate in today. And that's a critical part of our strategy, because in security, when hackers are so advanced, you cannot have mediocre technology or services in front of those customers. You see some of the quotes there. Obviously, very hard in cybersecurity to do actual customer testimonials. I had to anonymize these. But if you look at some of the testimonials here, director of strategic initiatives at a top university, IBM Security lets us manage 2.2 million events a day and still keep our heads above water. So that's the kind of environment our customers are facing and our technology can solve. Security intelligence from X-Force, made QRadar stand out for the CTO of a large consulting firm in the U.S. I'll let you read the rest of these yourself, but as I said, we have thousands of customers around the world and continue to grow that customer base. I'll also say, like with the rest of IBM, we've rolled out a feverish and relentless net promoter score program where we're thinking about how happy are those customers. We have in-product ability for customers to rate our ability that comes right into an app on my mobile phone, and I can figure out real time when one or the other segment of my portfolio is having some headwinds in terms of functionality or support or whatever from a customer. So we're relentless in monitoring this as the rest of IBM has been over the last couple of years. Let me talk a bit about futures here. So you get a sense of that immune system and what we do for customers, how we take the environment of 135 tools from 40 vendors and help to simplify that, how our service teams are active, our integrations, and hopefully you got a sense of the many partners that have essentially come into that ecosystem by integrating into our portfolio. I'm going to highlight four or five areas where we are pushing security going forward, and the first is around artificial intelligence. And I will spend some time here on Watson for cybersecurity. And you see some of the stats there for Watson. I'll actually describe Watson more on the next page. Maybe I'll come back quickly to the stats here. But on this slide 10, we are infusing AI into every part of that immune system. And I don't have time on this call, because Patricia will reach over and cut me off if I go too long on all the examples. But in every part of the portfolio, we are infusing AI. I'm going to go into two examples in the middle circle. So on this slide, I'll actually go into an example in application security. Application security is when AppScan is doing code scanning to try and understand whether an application, before it goes into production, whether it is well-coded and can't be hacked. Okay, it's a key thing that we need to do. And so in that world, we have taken different types of AI and machine learning and reduced the false positives in that scanning process by over 98%. Right, so you get a sense there of that. In Trusteer on the right in the fraud area, behavioral biometrics, where we can start to understand if a user actually starts to display a different way of typing or moving the mouse, we start to alert the customer and say, that's probably a hacker, not the actual user. Right. So, and that's all through AI and machine learning in that area. So AI, I'm very excited about. As I said in the beginning, there are things that we're doing that we couldn't do a couple of years ago that we're doing now. On slide 11, I just want to give you two specific examples. I mentioned before that 55% of breaches occur because of insider behavior, not because of hackers. So let's start with insiders first. We rolled out QRadar User Behavior Analytics. It's a separate app on top of our core QRadar portfolio, where we are now able to monitor the behavior of users through three different types of machine learning developed in a lab that we have in Israel. We were able to do something that has been a very hard problem in cybersecurity, is to figure out when users come off of normal behavior. Somebody starts to work late. Somebody starts to work nights and weekends. Somebody starts to come into the office unexpectedly. That's often a sign that they're either trying to move on to a new organization or get a new job, or that they're trying to steal data from an organization. Our UBA capability has now been deployed by hundreds of our customers around the world. I think it's even up to over 1,000 now. And it's making a real difference in detecting insider risk. And it's all done with AI. Again, AI that 2 years ago, and again, having tried hard to solve this problem for many years, we couldn't do this. Now we can. Second is Watson. And you saw some of the stats on the last slide. I know some of you downloaded the deck. You can see the stats on Watson. But just to give you a sense, we trained just like Watson for oncology. We trained Watson for cybersecurity to know everything on the planet about a topic, in this case, cyber. Some of you probably don't realize that there are 60,000 blogs a month published in cybersecurity. Well, you know what? Watson's read every one of them. It reads it. It doesn't get tired. It doesn't get attention deficit order. It doesn't forget things. And it then takes that unstructured data, articles, books, blogs, plus the structured threat intelligence I have, and puts that into a corpus that we then are able to impose on top of our customers. You see the actual app here called Watson, where Watson for Cyber can look over the shoulder of a, you know, proverbially of an analyst in a security operations center. They detect an incident in our platform, and then Watson starts to inform them of what that incident is based on what it read possibly hours before that. So, you know, it is literally able to say, oh, that type of attack, I read about that an hour ago. It's a new Eastern European hacking group. They're using a new technique, and it's in your building. It's in your data center, and you need to do the following things. So that's a real way of taking an analyst that may not be as advanced as they need to be, just like the oncologist that isn't maybe as good as some of the best in the world, and using Watson to augment the intelligence and get them up to speed. So it's a really exciting area that we have going with our customers. So that hopefully covers AI. I'll pick up the pace a little bit. Cloud. Two aspects to cloud. One is security from the cloud, and the other is security for the cloud. And then often these two converge, where you do security from the cloud for the cloud. Let me walk you through what I mean here. From the cloud is our SaaS portfolio. As I mentioned, in almost every domain of security, we've been introducing SaaS. Moz 360, Trustier are both pure SaaS capabilities. The App Exchange, where we host our applications, is based on the IBM Cloud. We've launched Application Security as a Service. Our X-Force Exchange, QRadar is now available as a service. Identity as a Service, Cloud Identity. Watson, which I mentioned, is a SaaS. And then we just launched our data analyzer, data security on the cloud. All this is starting to come together in our IBM security platform, which is basically that immune system of capability coming to a customer fully as a service in every domain. And we're really excited as we're building that out, because you can do unique things between the domains as a service that was harder to do when these were all installed as appliances or on-premise. So we're really guiding the transformation of our portfolio towards SaaS. I think we're moving at the pace or a little ahead of the market on how we're moving towards SaaS, and that's obviously always my goal. You don't want to be too far ahead. Customers aren't ready to take this to as a service model, and you don't want to be behind. Security for the cloud means that, think about any of the companies you work for, they start to move workloads to any of the cloud providers. I need to make sure that I can do all of those wonderful things I've been telling you about, even when it moves to those cloud providers, IBM Cloud or the others. Maintain protection of the data with our capabilities, regardless of where that data is, in a data center, hybrid, or on a public cloud. Manage access, we do that as well. Gain visibility by pulling in all the threat intelligence from those clouds into QRadar on the cloud, for example. And that's an example of from the cloud for the cloud. You see some of the screenshots there, and our services teams help, right? We send in our X-Force cloud security service to advise our customers on this. So that gets you into cloud collaboration. I mentioned key to collaborate, out-collaborate the hacker. Two ways that we're facilitating this, and the third that I'll mention that I would just recommend you Google, but I'll do that after these first two. One is our App Exchange. We opened up our platforms, QRadar, BigFix, Resilient, Moz 360, all these capabilities we opened up so that people can build apps. We've had over 130,000 apps downloaded, 140 apps built, some by us, 65 of them built by our business partners. You see many of our business partners in the logos there that have built apps. As I mentioned, some of the largest firewall companies, Cisco, Palo Alto, Checkpoint, showing up as a partner, McAfee on the antivirus side showing up as a partner, right? So people are partnering with us because we decided to sit above those segments, which makes it easy to do that. Second area of collaboration is we open up all of our threat intelligence on a threat sharing portal. It's like LinkedIn for threat intel. Over 13,000 customers have joined our X-Force Exchange on the morning of one of the biggest breaches or vulnerabilities that were announced last year called PETCHA. We had over 80,000 inquiries on this platform just on that Monday morning about what does IBM security know about this particular type of attack. So we're seeing a lot of traction there, a lot of users across, as I said, thousands of customers, 65,000 users, and a lot of intel in collaboration happening there. You can do a private collection, et cetera. The final thing that I'll mention, it's not on the slide, but it's a really exciting area, and you can just Google the word Quad9, Q-U-A-D-9, and this is where IBM has actually shared its threat intelligence and the domain 9.9.9 with a not-for-profit called Packet Clearinghouse to try and provide a safe web surfing experience free of attack for consumers and for our customers. And that's actually ramping very nicely, the Quad9 effort, worth a Google for those of you on the phone, where we are really seeing people leverage 9.9.9 as a safe way versus alternatives, which we can talk about in the Q&A if anybody's interested, to do DNS reconciliation. That's collaboration. Moving quickly to response and orchestration, and I'm going to hand off to Michael pretty soon here. Response and orchestration, invariably a breach will occur, no matter how great your immune system is. And so when that breach occurs, you need to have the technology, the expertise, and the practice. And so what have we done here? We acquired on the technology side a company right here in Cambridge, Massachusetts called Resilient. We have ramped that to hundreds now of customers that are using its platform, where the runbooks and the playbooks for how to act during a breach. Who do I call? What is the statement I give to the press? What is the number of the regulator? What is the letter I send under GDPR compliance in Europe? It allows 40 times faster response to a breach. And if the whole trick now, leveraging Watson and Resilient, is to make every analyst in that security operations center more productive, that's the track that we're on with that technology. We have hired dozens of experts. I say dozen, that doesn't sound like a lot, but there aren't a lot of amazing white hat experts in the world that can help a customer when a breach occurs. And we have become a destination for the resumes of people in this area, incident respond expertise. And so we've built a really nice team here that gets the phone call when a breach occurs, because you can't handle that yourself as a customer. And then finally, we built a command center that Patricia referenced at the beginning here. We're sitting in that command center. You see a picture of it there. This is exactly where customers are able to come and practice going through a fake breach and seeing if they can actually survive. The lessons learned through that embarrassment are priceless, and the net promoter score on our cyber range, our command center that you see here, is I don't think we've gotten any ratings below an 8 or a 9 of people going through that experience. Sweat on the forehead as they practice what it's like to get a phone call from a fake journalist. I realize I'm using the word fake, but anyway, we'll move on. fake journalists calling in to try and figure out why was there a breach in this fake company during this practice session. And it's quite interesting. You guys should come by and see it sometime here. Finally, the services piece. As I mentioned, before I hand off to Michael, transformation managing consulting services, and you see at the bottom there, I've described those service areas, I think, pretty well, and how they actually make the problem go away. A customer can now walk to us and say, you have a technology portfolio, you have a services team, I'm exhausted by this problem of cybersecurity, can you make it go away? And my team does. And that's a wonderful value proposition to have, and it's quite differentiated. The eight service lines are listed there. I mentioned X-Force Incident Response and Intelligence. That is that incident response team that we've been building up. X-Force Red is our offensive security. Offensive, not like it insults people, but it means that you go to customers and you offensively try and figure out how a hacker would break in to their ATM, to their car, to their airplane, to their infrastructure, to their cloud. Experts that do that offensive testing. Many other service lines here. Security intelligence and operations consulting is where we build SOCs for our customers with all that technology I mentioned. So a lot going on here, and hopefully on slide 16, if I just go back to that summary page, I give you an idea of what's happening in the core cybersecurity portfolio that I manage. And now what I want to do is hand off to Michael, who's a distinguished engineer from the IBM Z security team, and he's going to talk about how they're taking philosophically, many of these principles, but then applying it to making sure that the mainframe is so uniquely secure.
That's right. Yeah, thanks, Mark. When you look at what's going on in the industry from a ever increasing risk of data breaches that our clients are facing and the evolving and ever-changing compliance space, and you couple that with the concentration of mission-critical data that organizations maintain within their mainframe environments, the net is that organizations are under tremendous pressure to, you know, protect the data within their data centers. That said, if encryption were easy to do, everybody would be doing it. But the reality is that most organizations are either not encrypting the data within their data centers or are encrypting a very limited amount of data due to the complexity and cost of deploying encryption. The goal and the vision that we have around Z14 pervasive encryption is to transform the way that organizations can protect their data by breaking down the barriers to deploying encryption. And at a high level, the concept of what we delivered with Z14 and pervasive encryption is we're enabling organizations to encrypt all the data associated with an application or all the data associated with the database with a solution that's integrated throughout the stack. So this includes the hardware, the firmware, the operating system, the middleware, the software. We've integrated with IBM security solutions as well, and provide encryption that's simple to implement, that's transparent to applications, and that's optimized for performance. That's the goal. That's the objective with what we've delivered around Z14. Next slide. Since the launch of the Z14 in September of 2017, we've actually seen very broad interest in pervasive encryption across industries and geographies. To give you a sense of the business value that we're seeing with pervasive encryption, I'd like to talk about one example that we see gaining a lot of traction. In the absence of a better alternative, we see organizations looking to actually open up their applications and add encryption to the application at the field level. And while this may sound attractive and there's some promise to this, the reality is that doing the encryption at the application level can be cost prohibitive beyond a very small scale. And the idea is that many of our clients have thousands, if not tens of thousands of applications. And if you start to look at it employing encryption at scale, you can easily get into the tens of millions, if not, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in terms of initial investment cost. And that's just the starting point. Once you go down that path of doing application level encryption, it's a long-term commitment. It's a long-term investment. And our point of view with the Z14 and pervasive encryption is we want the application developers focused on adding business value to the applications, and we want to protect the data using the infrastructure in a way that's transparent to the application. So that's the fundamental concept, and we're seeing, you know, quite a bit, as I mentioned, quite a bit of traction in terms of customers, you know, buying into this idea and the concept. Next slide. Yep. Mark talked a lot about what's happening from IBM security and this concept of the security immune system. Pervasive encryption, I think, goes hand in hand with what's happening with IBM security, and is very much aligned with the security immune system. For example, you can basically use encryption to go to complement technologies and capabilities like multi-factor authentication. With encryption, we can start to eliminate specific classes of users from risk and from scope, and then we can leverage multi-factor authentication as a means to provide high assurance authentication, you know, for the remaining set of users. And Mark talked about the user behavior analytics. Similarly, for the users that are still in scope, we can apply user behavior analytics to understand how they're using the system and ensure they're using the system according to the organization's policy. The concept that we've been promoting with our clients is that we want to use encryption as the foundation for data protection. And then building on top of that, layers of additional security practices and security mechanisms to have a robust cybersecurity defense, and as ways of, you know, mitigating threats and also as a way of simplifying compliance for the organization.
Thanks, Michael. So it's really exciting. As people move workloads to the IBM mainframe, they are able to start to deploy this very advanced encryption technology. And I'm going to shift now from the mainframe story to IBM Cloud story. I'm going to actually use the left-hand side to summarize both kind of situations that customers face. Because in the cloud world, right, you have the security portfolio that I outlined earlier, security on the cloud. So this, I am enabling customers, you know, our technology portfolio is enabling customers to bring all the security they want to the cloud, to the IBM cloud. But then, of course, there's security built into the cloud, and that is a very exciting part of our strategy as well. And this is the same thing that happens on the mainframe, right? That cloud you could replace with the mainframe where, as Michael said, you have capabilities from our portfolio, but then the mainframe team has gone and built a whole bunch of additional capabilities built in. And, of course, the goal in the end is that it's all built in. With the pace of hacking, compliance, and insider breach, it'll never be fully built in. So there'll always be independent security that you put on top of it. So that's how these two things interact. If I focus again on the cloud, security in the IBM cloud, and security on the cloud that we provide our customers that they can bring with us, on the right side here, IBM Cloud has some unique cloud security capabilities. We always talk about IBM Cloud as being secure to the core, the trusted cloud platform. Some aspects of that are continuous security for the applications on the cloud, our hyper protection for the data on the IBM Cloud, and then every other part of that immune system that I mentioned earlier, thinking through identity and privilege identity, monitoring the threats on the cloud. I already mentioned here application security. All those domains we are doing to make sure that the IBM cloud is secure, so that when someone, just like when someone moves a workload to the mainframe, security should be more robust than alternative infrastructures. When someone moves to the IBM cloud, likewise. So that's what we've really been spending a lot of time on the IBM cloud side. So I would like to just wrap up before we get to the Q&A portion, and I hand back to Patricia. IBM security, so we exist, and we actually have a mission statement. We exist to protect the world, freeing clients to thrive in the face of cyber uncertainty. Both Michael's team, the IBM Cloud team, and my team, we feel very inspired by the role that we play to help protect our customers, given the challenges that they face and that I outlined earlier. With that comes a very exciting business that has grown over the last several years from $1.8 billion up to $3.2 billion last year. And in summary of, I think, all of the comments that we've made on the call here, we're leading the market as a key growth segment for IBM, but hopefully you also understand within the sub-segments we operate, we maintain that leadership. We're innovating around AI, around moving to the cloud and for the cloud, around collaboration. And then, of course, the services message I mentioned, protecting clients across all the industry with an integrated approach across the technology stack and then these experts that we bring to it. And that, I think, has been a winning strategy that, frankly, has been one that we've been driving at for the last 6 years. It hasn't changed tremendously much. It's working, and we're continuing to push that and enjoying it. So, Patricia, with that in mind, I hand back to you.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Mark, and thank you, Michael. James, I'm going to hand it over to you so that you can provide the instructions for the Q&A.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session of today's conference. To ask a question, press star followed by the number 1 on your phone. Unmute your phone and record your name when prompted. Your name will be required to introduce your question. To cancel your question, press star followed by the number 2. One moment for the first question. And speakers, our first question comes from Joseph Foresi with Cantor Fitzgerald. Your line is now open.
Hi, and thanks for hosting the event. I was wondering, how has having AI Watson capabilities worked as a competitive advantage in security? Is this something that you feel your competitors have? And any commentary on win rates? And then I have one follow-up.
Yeah, so I think it really differentiates us. And I can tell you that the there's a certain halo effect of people just very intrigued with what it can do. And then we have had great success in being able to show them it in practice. So this is a corpus of knowledge that my team has developed. It is downloaded as an app onto our core platform, a purchasable app from the IBM Cloud onto our platform. So this is highly productized. And you know, when we first came out with it about a year ago, we, of course, got a lot of feedback because it was a first-of-a-kind capability in the marketplace, hadn't been done. We have been iterating, have teams on this, and it's really gotten quite mature. We're closing very nice large deals here in this area, and I think it still is highly differentiated. There are some very small players trying to do this, but I think we really are first to market of any of the large players, and therefore able to really have some momentum with our customers. I can't get too much into our close rates, but we do very well. When you do a proof of concept of our technology, pretty much in any of the domains I mentioned versus a lead competitor, often that competitor is smaller and has a lot of venture capital backing. And we are, as I said, relentless on being feature function at par or ahead. And if you do a POC, they do very well. And if you do a POC and you're using anything else in my stack of capabilities, you're probably going to see unique 1+1=3 capability, and that helps the win rate even more. Did you have a follow-on question,
Joe? Did we lose Joe? All right, James, if we lost Joe, why don't we go on to the next question, and Joe, maybe you can jump back in the queue.
I'm sorry, Speaker. Joseph is now on with an open line. Would you like
Okay. Sorry. Maybe I was cut off there. The follow-up was, does hiring IBM mean companies can shrink their internal security staff? Is there a cost-saving element to it? Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, in theory, yes. In practice, given the skill shortage, most people aren't going to sort of hire us and then, do a proverbial riff on their security staff. They are so overwhelmed right now. So they may have 5 or 6 people on staff that are overwhelmed. We take off all of the, I've described the capabilities, Joe, in our portfolio. So depending on, the identity piece or the monitoring or whatever, and it allows those scarce resources that are there to move to more strategic functions, like what is our policy? How do we get to compliance? How do we go to a large bank in North America? We were able to take all of the routine security tasks off their plate, and then they took their security team and moved them into being more threat hunters, right? So since we're doing all the day-to-day tasks, they can focus on lean forward hunting and really proactively looking for very sneaky attacks that you wouldn't get into the routine stuff. So that's kind of often more what I see than in a traditional, let's say, cost reduction managed service relationship where you would try and reduce cost.
Thanks, Joe. James, can we take the next question?
Sure. The next question comes from Wamsi Mohan with Bank of America. Your line is now open.
Yes, thank you for doing this call, Mark. Appreciate it. If I look at the $120 billion TAM that you address, how much of that is security services, and how much of your $3 billion in revenue, $3.2 billion, is services versus software? And I have a follow-up.
Yeah, so the market is about 50-50 in terms of the market opportunity. It has been for a while. The services piece is growing slightly faster than the technology side. And our business is, the majority of our business is still on the software side. But like the market, our services side is outgrowing our software side a bit. But the majority of our revenue is on the technology side of it. But a robust services business that is at scale and growing nicely. I mean, this is a market where, it's still highly fragmented, even with our leading position. So there's still just a lot. I mean, there's just a lot of opportunity for us in this marketplace is the way we see it.
Thanks, Wamsi. James, are there any more questions?
We show no further questions at this time. Again, participants, to ask a question, please press star followed by the number 1 and record your name. One moment, please. And speakers, we show no questions in queue.
Okay. Well, it sounds like Mark and Michael did a fantastic job of covering all their questions in their prepared remarks. If you guys have any follow-ups, please feel free to reach out to me, and I'll We'll see if we can handle them in IR, or we'll get them back to our subject matter experts here. And thanks for joining. James, I'm going to turn it back to you to close out the call.
Thank you. Thank you for participating on today's call. The conference has now ended. You may disconnect at this time.